If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light and power of the One Divine Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is, The Road Less Traveled Leads to Freedom. The road less traveled leads to freedom. So if you're ready to walk that road and move into greater freedom, let's just join together and take a deep breath. And call yourself forward with your intention to occupy your body, to invest your spirit into your mind, your brain, your neurological system, to every level of your being. Marriage every part of you with the Divine Beloved. Enter into that sacred covenant that makes you one and whole. In complete conscious recognition, here and now, even though we speak of becoming, in highest truth, there is no becoming. You have always been divine. You have always been one with God. You have always been indistinguishable from God. And nothing you could possibly ever do in this dream of time and space and differentiation and distance could change that one iota. So it is the soul's overall purpose to become a pure vehicle for the Divine Spirit to operate through. And we all create that road, that way, that path to our own actualization of our already predestined, pre-encoded, and existing freedom. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, he was not speaking as Jesus of Nazareth or referring to his body or anything having to do with form. He was speaking from the consciousness that we call the Christ. The Christ indwelling, our hope and glory. And it is only through the Christ principle, which is actually unconditional divine love, that we can move from the heart where that is centered into the monadic presence, which is the I am or the pure spirit level itself. You have to go through the way of the beloved, union with the beloved, marriage with the beloved. Mystical literature is filled with romantic symbology, with sensual symbology. In the Bible, the whole Song of Solomon, as sensual and as erotic as it is, has to do with a merger of the human personality with the divine Christ, the bridegroom, the soul. That is the beloved. Your own self is the beloved. You are marrying with your own beingness. And that requires, in time space, a path, a road, a way that you unfold from the very truth of your being as you walk it. And that becomes the life, with a capital L, because there's only one life, and that's the one creative source, whatever you want to call it. So each must become the way, the truth, and the life. And we must merge with the Father, which is our own spirit, our own I Am presence, our own Atma. Only at that stage, all sense of ownership falls aside. All personal separation is jettisoned like the stages of a rocket as you probe deeper into the inner space of your innermost being. So tonight we would like to look at a way of being in the world so that we create more conscious steps for ourselves. Like every step we take is leading us in a direction, isn't it? So let's start with a question. What road in life are you traveling? You know, take a look. Because it has led you to where you are today. So take a look. The last seminar, we looked at destiny and how we each create our destiny out of the combined result of every thought, word, and action, not only of this lifetime, but the cumulative conglomerate of everything we have set into motion through energy and consciousness in every existence. It's just that certain lifetimes will kind of put a spotlight on a certain area that you want to particularly work on in each lifetime. But for many of you that I'm speaking to, this is it. This is it. This is the lifetime that you're going to step free through grace. You're going to move into those superluminal bodies of light, and some of you are going to possibly even transcend death itself. You're simply going to step into that higher body of light and go on with your eternal life. It's possible. It's been prophesied in the Bible and other scriptures, and many of the leading prophets today are speaking of this. So why not? Go for it. Claim it. This is it. You're on the road less traveled that leads to freedom. So the road we are walking is created step by step. And that puts us in the direction that we are headed in. And our life as it is right now in this moment is the result of every step we have taken to this moment. So I think it would be wise to know where we're headed in life, don't you? And again, another question you could ask yourself, where am I headed in my life? Where am I headed in my life? I mean, drop aside the wishful thinking and the hoping and the wishing and one day, the big funding is going to pay off and then I can do thus and thus, or one day I'll meet my soul. Drop all of that. Okay, that's all big nonsense. Let's just practically take a look at what is right now in our life. Are you walking on a path, a road, whatever, that's taking you in the direction you have said you wanted to go? Are you? So be courageous and honest with yourself and look. And observe where you are walking and where your steps are taking you, because you are creating your destiny, your future, and your destination. You know, over the entrance to one of the mystery schools on the inner planes called the Hall of Knowledge is the saying, man, know thyself. And then in another subsidiary mystery school that you attend after you have completed this particular training on the inner planes, which you undertake at night when you think you're asleep, is a second lesson, to thine own self be true. So before you can realize yourself as soul, or as the divine monad or divine self, you must first know your personal self, because that's the foundation for everything. Without confidence in your personal self, to where you exercise those conscious choices that take you where you need to go, how can you go any further? You can't have faith in God if you don't have faith in yourself, because in highest truth, they're one and the same. So everything that you projected in an outer God, you must learn to internalize and own as your own Christed spiritual essence, your own core of true being. So the spiritual practice is all about clearing out our personal karmic clutter so that the love, wisdom, and power of the universe can flow freely and unimpeded through us into this and countless universes. You see, creation is endless. You go from the universes that are locked into the illusion of time, space, and becomingness into the open-ended universes that are yet to be unfolded because they're awaiting your entrance. You are the God forms that will be, let's say, designing and working, cosmoforming, if you will, not terraforming, but cosmoforming, these universes that are in the stage of just being emanated to the love of the heart, of the all it is. Everything is birthed out of the heart of the divine source. Everything. And so, we are functionaries divinely intended to facilitate creation that is yet to be emanated. It's not about just being a human and functioning at that level here. This is the springboard, the training arena, that is to launch us forth as a Christed race of superluminal whole light beings that can work and function consciously and multidimensionally and transdimensionally beyond time and space into areas we can't even articulate here because the human mind can't conceive of them. But we do know from those who are the spiritual travelers who can travel into those realms that they exist, and that's the divine plan for us as a race of beings. So it's interesting that Sai Baba has said that we could realize God, our God self, in 11 minutes if we could focus 100% on our real self, that part of us that's beyond the body, beyond our feelings, beyond our thoughts. Oh, it seems simple, wouldn't it? Now, go ahead, try. Go for it. It's really, really hard to stay focused 100% on anything that you can't wrap your mind around because the mind doesn't comprehend formless deity. It always has to have a form. That's why the avatar has to come. It's divine show-and-tell time. You know, if you don't have someone to show up, like Jesus the Christ, or Sai Baba, or Gautama Buddha, or Krishna, or Rama, or Zoroaster, or one of the great manifestations of God, if you don't have that, where are you going to focus your attention, your mind? So we have to use form as long as we have a form. We have to utilize form in a divine way that leads us on the road to spiritual freedom. Likewise, in terms of the world, John Roger, the spiritual mentor, has said that if a group of us could chant the Hue or the Anahue chant with 100% of our focus of attention and devotion, if we could do that for only 10 minutes, we could stop all the wars on the planet. I could stop all of the wars. I'm sure we would all like to do that. I'm sure we all have an intention somewhere to do that. But it hasn't happened, has it? Because the mind has been likened to a mad monkey. It's jumping, I forget how many thoughts it leaps to, like so many branches. Every few minutes it leaps again and again and again and again. So you have to attach the mind itself to the name of God, to a mantra, which, just like the cobra, becomes entranced by the movement and vibration of the flute player. If you watch them in India, you'll see the snake charmers. The snake can't really hear, but it's responding to the vibrations. And it becomes entrained in that vibration. And likewise, the mind becomes entrained in the vibration of the divine sound current that resonates through the names of God. Any name of God, it doesn't matter. Any name of God. We give you the Hue and the Anahue because they are not associated with any particular form, so they're not going to engender a dislike or a negative reaction, because you don't actually know what Hue is. It's just a very good reflection of the absolute divine source. And it's very pleasant to chant it. When you chant it with the Anai, Ah, opens the heart. So whether you chant it Hue, H-U, or Anai Hue, the mind likes that and will follow the vibration of that sound current and slip you beyond the worry belt, the Van Ellen belt of concerns and worldly shenanigans that the mind gets involved with. It takes you above that. You float above it. You soul transcend above it to the sound current. And that's why we give you that. Simple, simple, simple. So you have to give the mind something to do, or it just kind of weirds out on you. So, we're kind of like Martha, the sister of Lazarus in the story in the Bible. We're concerned over many things, when the only thing that really matters in life is that we awaken, remember, and realize that we are one with God. We're here for one purpose only, and that is for God realization. And you know, nothing else really counts or matters in the long run. You're not going to take any of the stuff that you're worried about now with you into eternity. The only thing you're going to take is the love that you are, that you gave, that you shared, that you contributed. That's it. The love and the light that you are, which, bear in mind, is unique. Each one of us is the uniquely begotten love of God, or son of God, or daughter of God. Words don't quite get the meaning across. We have too many concepts wrapped around our words. But there is a part of you that chooses what to do, what to participate in, what to partake of during the allotted 24/7 that we all have access to here on Earth. So where are your steps, your choices, your involvements leading you? But more importantly, where have they led you? You know, the I think he's probably the pioneer of one of the earliest pioneers, Jack LaLanne, of the physical fitness movement. He said something that got my attention. He said every time that you exercise, you're doing one rep of an exercise, you strengthen that muscle by 6 times, which seemed extraordinary to me. But it also gave me great encouragement, you know, because I thought, wow, for a little effort, you get a lot of payoff. Now, why don't we apply that to our habits? Let's say that whatever you do once, you strengthen by 6 times. Just saying, what if? We know that whatever you do more than once begins already the process of starting to become a habit. So if you examine your daily habits, you can soon see the direction they are taking you, if you care to look. You know, it's clearly predictable. But a lot of people don't take the time to look. They don't care to look. They don't want to look. They're not interested in walking that road less traveled. And they don't even have a concept of freedom. But I'm talking to you. And that's why in every seminar we stress the importance of exercising conscious awareness in every area of your life. That's actually a simpler habit to develop, a happier habit, than it sounds like when I just say that. Because I think many of you are already more and more aware. And you just keep expanding that awareness so that you have less and less times when you go on unconscious mode. Less and less times when you're caught off balance. You know, they say a good Qigong master, you can walk up to a Qigong master or a Tai Chi master or a Shaolin and push them from any direction and they won't fall over. Why? Because they're centered in their Qi. They're completely centered. They're completely aware. They have eyes all around their head like a spider. they can do their kung fu martial arts blindfolded because they have trained every single cell of their body, which has a light photon, which has the ability to perceive. They've trained every part of their being to see. And some of these new children coming in, they can read with their elbows, with the soles of their feet, with their armpits, with their cheeks. They can read with any part of their body because they've come in with a greater degree of sightedness. They can see. So that lesson in the Course in Miracles that says, above all else, I want to see. You know, that can become the rallying call that you send forth to the cosmos to open up a greater degree of awareness. We're not talking about seeing with the body's eyes. We're talking about seeing with your light field. You know, God is the light in which I see. That's another lesson in the Course of Miracles. God is the light by which you see. And interestingly enough, the sacred geometry for the eye on any species, and the sacred geometric form for light are identical. Are we surprised? God is the light by which I see. So we start with observing our daily habits, and we soon see the direction that they're taking us. And we begin to exercise conscious directives in what we do in life. You know, having the free will to make conscious decisions and to be self-aware is unique to the human species on this planet. No other species has the ability to make conscious decisions and to be self-aware. So that's why, if you look at humanity, they are really asleep. Because it doesn't take long to see that nearly every human being is on autopilot. They're actually being run by unconscious habitual patterns. So only those who are upon a consciously elected spiritual path are beginning to make conscious choices. In every area of their life, usually the first place they'll start to make some conscious choices is their diet. They begin to become more aware of what they put in their mouth. And they become more aware of physical fitness. They start to exercise and take care of their physical body. That's like the first thing that people start to do. It's become a fad here in America, and probably it's picked up everywhere on the planet. But I notice it being an American. Excuse me. So people are becoming aware that their daily lifestyle choices are creating their destiny, their future, and their destination. And the desired destination is freedom. When you boil it down to everything, we all want to be free. We want mukti. We want liberation from karma and rebirth and entrapment within these lower realms. We want to be in the kingdom of heaven. We want to live heaven now. We want to live in the Satchitananda, the bliss, the fulfillment, the joy, the love of the all that is now. Not later, not after we die. And the one path that will enable you to do that is self-realization. That is where you move into. The heart, you merge and become one with the Christ, the Lord, the Beloved. And then through that, you merge with the Father to where you can say with Jesus, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For the Father and I are one. What is the Father? The Atma, the Spirit, the one created Logos, the It of itself. So, if you'd like to do a journaling exercise when we go off the air, or at your leisure, you could, if you wanted to, note down where you would like to go in life. What's your goal, your overall goal? And it could be anything. And then the necessary steps that would take you in that direction. Because you'll find, I think you probably already realized, excuse me, that people who don't manifest their full potential generally fail to make that connection between their daily habits and what they say they would like to achieve. You know, everything is energy and consciousness, and is a step. You're putting energy into something that manifests as form with every breath you take. So your daily habits manifest as your character, and your character manifests as your destiny. So it's really very simple. You pay attention to what you are doing, what you are putting into your mouth, what is coming out of your mouth, what you are allowing to enter and occupy your mind, how you're spending your time and with whom. And most of all, for what purpose? What purpose is this, whatever it is, serving in your life? What's it for? Jesus says in the Course in Miracles, we need to always ask ourselves, with the things that we're involved with, what's the purpose of this? What is this for? I think if you'd ask most people that, they'd look at you like you had six heads. What do you mean, what is this for? What does it have to have a purpose? I'm just killing time. I'm just kicking back. I'm just wasting time. Yeah, you're killing time and you're wasting it. And you'll have plenty more times to come back on the planet to do that until you wake up. So we really need to consider these things if we want to achieve that liberation, that mukti, that freedom that many of us claim that we want to have. So the road to freedom is the road less traveled because most people prefer instant sensual gratification and comfort over the self-discipline required for self-mastery and freedom, and to master ourselves. So the older, wiser, more experienced soul is willing to do whatever it takes to fully awaken and manifest their highest divine destiny and potential. They're going for it. So you're the ones that choose to listen each week to our seminars and who truly want self and God realization above all else in life. So therefore, examine your life. That's your arena. That's your training school. And look at your daily habits and your choices of involvement and discern if they align with your professed goal in life. And if not, create more goal-fitting habits. That's easy enough. You can do that. What's the problem? You know, it's very easy to change a lesser habit by replacing it with a more quality choice. One that creates greater good in one area of your life, you'll find, will have an impact on every area of your life. Like, for example, you start taking a yoga class, or you start to meditate each morning, or you start the day with a prayer. Or just a little things. You don't have to change everything all at once. Just pick some one area and make a really excellent choice there. And you'll find that your whole life starts to shift in a upward spiral. And everyone who's ever been enslaved to a totally life-wasting habit, such as smoking or drinking or taking drugs, will tell you what a tremendous relief and joy it is to live clean and free of such habits. So you see, those habits take you step by step to your destruction and demise. And those habits are taking you further into bondage and not freedom. But they all started with one choice, one puff, one drink, one trip. But they all lead to the same destruction. So be aware that bad habits will also have an effect on your whole life and start you in that downward self-destructive pattern. Most of the time you need help to get out of those patterns. You really do. You need some form of professional assistance. But there's another way, and it's the path that I've chosen, and I can say that it works. So to change a bad habit, it's not difficult if you do it with God. And you do that by asking for assistance. Then you offer that cigarette, that drink, that drug dose, or whatever it is to God. Yeah, that's right. You offer it to God. And it's rendered pure. It's really interesting. Whatever you offer to God, God will make it right. God will remove the negative energy and gradually take away all desire for it. Just goes, it vanishes. You know, the great master Ramakrishna had a man who was addicted to some drug that Ramakrishna referred to as his white powder. That was probably cocaine or heroin or something. And so he said, I know you like your powder, so go ahead, take your powder, but just this one thing you do. And he gave him a slate and a piece of chalk and a little weighing, you know, one of those little primitive weighing machines. And he told him that you go ahead and you take your powder, but before you take it, you write one ohm on your slate. And then you measure exactly the same weight of the chalk and the powder. Okay? You just do that. So like that, he did it. And each time you take his drug, whatever it was, he would write ohm on the slate. And of course, as would happen, the chalk got smaller and smaller. The dose got less and less. And by the time the chalk was used up, the habit was gone. So like that, you see, you can, with God's help, with grace. Ramakrishna, of course, was a great master and gave grace to this devotee of his. But we're all devotees of the Lord. We all have the Holy Spirit that is our master teacher. We all have Jesus. We all have the spiritual hierarchy. All of the masters, I don't care who they are, what religion claims lays claim to them, they all work as one brother and sisterhood of light. They love all of us. They guide all of us. They take all of us home to God by the path of our own choosing. So it doesn't matter what religion you are, what name and form of God is dear to your heart. They know when you want to go home, and they will help you. But you got to ask. Why? Why do you have to ask? Well, you need to ask because you're given light sufficient to sustain you physically. But anything beyond that, you need to ask for. So there's no violation of your free will, which is considered totally sacred by all the masters. So when you ask for the light, for the highest good, you don't have to tell God how to be God or what to do. You just say, Father, Mother, God, or however you pray, I would like the light, the divine light for the highest good in this situation. I would like the light for this person, you can use the light. If you don't try to manipulate and tell God what to do with that person, you can place anything and anyone in the light. But just ask for the light for that situation, person, place, or thing according to the highest good and let God work that out. But when you do that, the spiritual forces look and see if there could be an alternative reality or probable reality line that they could open up for you. So you have access to an alternative that wouldn't have shown up if you hadn't asked. You see, every time you ask and you open to divine assistance, you create for yourself the possibility of a breakthrough that would not have shown up if you hadn't asked. So that's why you use the light all the time. You place it with every situation, every decision, every problem, every worry, every fear. Every time you get in the car, every time you wake up in the morning, every time you interact with your spouse or your children, every time you enter your office and sit at your work place, you place the light, the divine light. You can say the Christ light, the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of Krishna, the light of Sai Baba. The light knows what it is. But use the light, because that opens the way for grace to enter into your situation in a way that possibly wouldn't have shown up. Now, another thing, very important to remember. Sai Baba has taught us that whatever is offered to the Lord is purified of all ill effects. And I know I have overcome every one of my bad habits by doing just that. You offer whatever it is you are going to partake of to God. Say, for example, you're going to smoke a cigarette. You offer the cigarette to God, and then you also pray for the release of all of those people who are addicted to that habit, so that you are actually extending a service to your brothers and sisters who may not have anyone to pray for them in that situation, who may be absolutely miserable that they're a slave to this habit. And you, by offering this selfless prayer, are being used as an instrument to set not only yourself free, but your brothers and sisters. So that's the way you can neutralize the effects, for example, of the GMOs. And pollution, pesticides, additives in your food and water, by offering whatever you eat, whatever you drink to God, and blessing it before you partake of it. Because Baba said that your food creates your thoughts. Your thoughts are affected by the thoughts of those who grew your food, harvested your food, sold your food, prepared your food, and with whom you consume your food. So it's very important that you offer everything to God first and have that divine blessing placed upon your food. Because you can see that's the only way that you can be sure that your food is going to create good thoughts in your mind. And as the thoughts, so the speech. As the speech and the thoughts, so the behavior. You know, the body doesn't act by itself. It acts because of the mind. And the mind is influenced by the food that you eat. So, therefore, offer everything to God. Now, you'll find that your taste for whatever it was that you were addicted to that was not serving your highest good will get less and less and less until the desire completely vanishes. You don't try to force it. You don't try to fight it. You simply offer it to God, and then you enjoy it. You don't curse yourself when you're smoking or drinking or whatever your addictive pattern is. No, but you bring God into the equation, which then begins the process of that road to freedom. And it's through grace. So you don't try to overcome your bad habit through your own willpower. You know, when you're trying to do something through your own willpower alone, without divine assistance, you will generally not succeed. I think we've all found that out with dieting and, you know, making New Year's resolutions. Oh, I'm going to stop smoking, or I'm not going to drink, or whatever. You know, we fall aside without divine assistance. And that's why the 12-step program is so effective, because the first thing you do is you recognize that by yourself, you can't do it. You need divine assistance. You need to take a power greater than yourself to come alongside you to help you overcome your addictive pattern. And that's why that's so effective. So, as for diet, ask the Lord to reveal to you what foods would be best for your particular health and stage in life. And then listen and observe as you are subtly guided. You know, as you go shopping, you'll just find your attention being drawn to certain things. Maybe you'll start reading the labels. Maybe you'll start being a little bit more attentive to picking fresh things and organic things and healthy things. And you may eat the same food, but you'll replace things that, like, for example, white sugar. You'll replace it with turbinado, raw sugar, or honey, or agave nectar, or something, stevia, something, but you won't just go for the thing that is, you know, the least healthy, which would be bleached white sugar. So Jesus spoke to me quite clearly and directly when I asked him to show me what I was doing. And he showed me very clearly I was eating unconsciously. I would take way too much butter, way too much cheese. I was taking in way too many fat calories because I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing. I was trying to eat in a hurry, get it out of the way so I could go do something else. I wasn't paying attention. And he said, go ahead and have butter and cheese, but slice the cheese really, really, really thin and have just a small amount of butter. And then he wanted me to set the table, light candles, and sit down like a lady and enjoy my meal. You know, pray, you know, say the blessing, and not just eat gobble, gobble when I'm watching TV or working online. You know, to really sit down and fully enjoy the meal. You know, eat things that you enjoy. Taste the food. Participate in that sacrament of feeding the holy temple of God. It's what you're doing. You're feeding the divine Atma. You know, so the Atma has a temple, and it can operate through. So basically, you replace an unconscious habit with a more consciously enjoyed good habit. When you stop smoking, you'll realize that suddenly your taste buds and your olfactory nerves function. You can smell things. You can taste things. And you can enjoy aromatherapy or really quality good incense. or beautiful scented candles. You can enjoy your fresh, sweet breath. And these are all wonderful gifts that you can give yourself when you quit smoking. You'll never, never miss it. You'll never miss it. So you overcome overeating by selecting these quality dishes and foods that you really enjoy and eating them more consciously so that you don't diet, because everybody knows that when you diet, it doesn't work, does it? No, because you have certain things that you want to eat that perhaps you should be eating. So it's better to pick the foods that you really like, learn to substitute ingredients that are more helpful, begin to make more conscious choices within that range of food, and enjoy your meal. And more importantly, invite the Lord to share the meal with you. You could set a plate out for him or her. Our family always did that. And for years, I used to always feed my little image of Ganesha. And also, a girlfriend of mine always has tea with Sai Baba. And every morning, he has his own little teacup, and she'll sit and have tea with him and talk to him as a statue of him. So, I mean, you can make this fun. You can incorporate everything in your life as your spiritual practice. And it's just delightful. And in India, you'll notice that when people sit down for their meal, they always take a small portion of the food and put it on the side of their plate, with their right hand on the right side of their plate. And that's for God. And also, you'll see the shamans in Peru, when they take a drink, they'll spit it in the four directions to Pachamama. You know, they'll give the offering to the four directions to Earth Mother. So these are all little ways that we can co-participate with the Devic and elemental forces of earth, wind, fire, water, ether, and with the divine devatas, the divine beautiful beings that surround us at all times. There are angels, masters, teachers, guides, benefactors, spiritual beings. Well, you know, when you've seen the orbs that are everywhere, those are light bodies of spiritual entities. So the universes are teeming with life. There's no place you can look where there's empty space. There's no such thing. There's life everywhere. And you're co-sharing that life. And as you move into the higher dimensions through this ascension process, you're going to see more of it. You're going to be more and more sighted clairvoyantly and etherically as we move into these more refined vibrations. So begin to have a sense of being surrounded with your loved ones. Yeah, everyone, their loved ones. And have fun with them. Feed them and dance with them and play music for them and chant for them enjoy your life, for heaven's sakes. So you can turn every area of your life into a God-focused ritual, and hence it becomes a part of your spiritual practice if you want to. And I've done all of that for so many years that now there's not a second in the day and night that I'm not God-focused. There just isn't. I wake up at the night, I'm talking to God, or I'm speaking in tongues, or I'm chanting, or I'm singing bhajans, or I'm talking in another language and working with somebody somewhere else in the world or universes. It's automatic for me. And thus my whole life has become a yogic practice. But it's because I've chosen to consciously walk to God in every step I take. Every step I take, I'm walking in God, with God, accompanying with God. And that is the way that I have found to be the way, the truth, and the life for myself. So be sure you have also a sacred place in your room or home. It can be as simple as an altar on your dresser or your nightstand, or it can be as elaborate as a puja or meditation room, or it can be as simple as a chair and a table where you sit and you study and you do your spiritual writing and you journal and you pray and meditate, but have some place where you have conditioned the energy for prayer and time with God. And you will train your mind to hold a spiritual focus throughout the day by practicing one or more of these little simple habits. I often say that out of sight is out of mind. So keep divine reminders all throughout your environment. Just keep things in your space that resonate the vibration of your divine communion and your divine commitment to walk this road less traveled that will lead you home to freedom and soul, freedom and God realization, freedom to manifest the fullness of everything God has created you to be and to manifest. Learn some mantras. You can pick up a book on mantras, or you can get the mantra meditations, or on YouTube you can hear many mantras from Deva Prema, whatever her name is, Amitan. Deva and Amitan. You can learn all kinds of mantras and some A Course in Miracles affirmation and use them throughout the day. You can put them on little 3x5 cards and or post-its and put them where you can see them. The bathroom mirror, the refrigerator, above the coffee maker, wherever. And use every possible means to spiritualize your mind and your thoughts so that you can stay more God-focused and spiritually conscious throughout the day. And then as you start your day, as you end your day, have some spiritual practice. Say the rosary or a japa mala. Do the Hue chant or a spiritual exercise. Or do prayer. Meditate. Read a little bit of a spiritual book. And thus you're offering your day to the Lord and all of the burdens of that day so that when you wake up the next morning, you don't have a hangover or a carryover of any karmic complexity. You start the day fresh. You don't import the problems of yesterday. You let them die with the day. You put them in the hands of the Lord and you step free through grace. And you ask that you might be a pure vessel of divine love and joy and peace throughout the day, so that wherever you go, everyone is touched and enhanced in some way that is positive and uplifting. And you know that whatever you are given in life, you will be able to handle it. You're never given anything you can't handle. You are never alone. You will never be forsaken or forgotten or overlooked. All of the masters of the spiritual hierarchy, every single one of them cares for every single human being. Everyone is looked after, is protected, is guided, and is left alone to make their own free will choices until they get to the point that they ask for help. It's like a baby learning how to walk, you know. You let it learn how to walk on its own because it has to learn how to walk, has to figure out how to do that. And you don't help the baby by trying to walk for it or to save it the effort from falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up. No, part of the process is that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw up. You're going to have bad habits. You're going to do stuff that you wish you hadn't done. You're going to do cringe-worthy things, okay? We all do. Join the human race, we all do stupid stuff. And we learn through the stupid stuff to be less stupid in our doing. Until eventually you get to the point that you begin to see that, wow, I really have built in some strength. I'm not flying off at the handle and cussing everybody out, you know. I'm learning how to hold my tongue. I'm learning how to negotiate. I'm learning how to be kinder and more considerate. Wow. Yeah. I'm beginning to feel like I can sit in a room by myself and not freak out. I can enjoy my own company. I don't have to be running, you know, pell-mell like a racehorse doing stuff. I can just sit quietly and read and just enjoy being. But you get to that place by stages, and you learn how to buy yourself time so that you can have quality time for yourself and your commitment to God, quality God time every day. Doesn't have to be real long, but it needs to be consistent. And that consistent habit will just pay so many dividends in your life you can't imagine. And before you know it, you know, you will experience that, gosh, I've really mastered some powerful things in my life. I really am walking in the light of my higher awareness. I'm really remembering to bless my food now instead of eating unconsciously. I'm really remembering that I feel better if I exercise every day, even though I may not on a lower self level want to do that. And so the divine power and wisdom and love of the divine source begins to access through you more and more. And people will want to be with you. They'll begin to ask if they can just come over and hang out with you because it feels so good. And then you'll know that your influence has made you suddenly a way shower, a way enactor, and a true friend. Because a true friend is a person that always points you Godward, who will never support you in your weakness, but will always affirm you in your divinity. And that's what's important. But your nearest and your dearest friend always will be the Lord. So cultivate that relationship, and the Lord will take care of all the other areas of your life if you place that relationship preeminent. So I hope this has been helpful to you, and have fun. Gosh, have fun. But make your road your own and make it beautiful. And let every step be a step that takes you nearer and dearer to the heart of the all that is. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on I, you. Deep breath. And hold your hands up and send your blessing. May all the beings and all the worlds have happiness, health, and peace. May all awaken to the divine being that they truly are. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.